Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hello and welcome to Love, Samantha Lee, the More Than Just Pretty podcast. I'm your host, Samantha Lee, and here we explore love, life, spirituality, and relationships through the lens of real beauty, the kind that begins the moment you decide to be unapologetically yourself. Join us as we dive into heartfelt discussions that challenge, inspire, and connect. Are you ready to embrace your true self? Let's begin. What's up, family? Y'all, okay, so today's episode is called Reframing Rejection, and it really does come down to a conversation I was having with a friend of mine. And we're talking about how women and men process relation, like how we go about relationships and dating and things of that nature. And I was actually saying, making a comment because I was talking to another person about how you don't want to be the first relationship after somebody has a divorce. Like you don't want to be the first person they deal with after the divorce. For anybody that's listening, I haven't heard a situation where that's not right. Like, I typically have heard that that is not the part, you do not want to be the first person that someone deals with after a divorce. And I thought, I laugh about it, everything like that. And a friend of mine was saying, like, how do you think that women and men process it? Well, I think most times women, after they get through a divorce process or things like that, they're actually trying to make things work. Like, they're actually going to the next situation, and no matter what the situation is, they're trying to make it work because you've just experienced a failure and you don't want to necessarily fail again. And even if the situation isn't 100% right, you're still trying to make it work. And I think that's women. Men, on the other hand, I think leave the marriage and they know that whoever they decide to be with, they're cognitively saying, I know I don't necessarily want to be with this person for forever. I just need this person for right now. It's almost like, and I hate to say this, having a job, right? Like, some of y'all might be working in a profession, in a career where it's not where you ideally want to be, but it pays the bills. That's how I look at when men are in between, like after a long-term relationship or after a marriage. That's how men go about it. They looking at it like, I'm not necessarily looking for the one. I'm looking for somebody who's going to meet my needs, but I'm aware that this is not where I ideally want to be forever. This is not my forever. And that, I'm not saying, again, I'm not speaking to absolutes. Everybody, people are different. But most times, a lot of times, that's the situation. And so my friend was like, well, why do you think men are like that? Like, that sounds kind of cold, you know? And I was like, I think that men, they're just more logical. They understand where they are. They're more aware of what their capacity, and they're more aware what they can give into a relationship. And so they're going to only enter into situations that reflect where they are, right? They're more aware. Women, we're more, I don't know how to say what I want to say, but women are just different in how we process relationships. You know, we find a lot more, not saying that men don't find identity in relationships, but I think a lot of women, it's a little deeper than that. It's a lot like how we look at it. And so we're really trying a lot of times, even if we're not ready to look for relationships. And it takes us a minute to be like, no, you should just be by yourself. Whereas I think men are different. And that's not what this podcast is about. The conversation goes further. My friend was like, well, what about men that, you know, say that they are not ready for a relationship, but then they end up in a relationship the next month or whatever. And the reality was they just didn't want a relationship with you. And I was like, well, you know, people say things like that. And I get how that can be hurtful, but sometimes life changes quickly, right? Like I can tell you today how I feel and something could happen. I could get a call. I could get a text. I can get something that's going to reframe how I think. And I may make different decisions based upon that incident, right? So we can't say that, oh, he just didn't want a relationship with me, or, oh, she must have been doing this, that, and the third. Like, no, because we're assuming a lot. But yet we all are aware of how quickly life changes. And I said, furthermore, you have no idea if God was actually the one who kept that person away from you. Not because of who they are, or they're bad people, or this, that person's not right for you. I think a lot of times family, especially in today's culture, everybody is afraid of being rejected. All of us. Now, how that manifests into our behavior, it varies, right? Some people are like, I'm afraid of rejection, but I'm not going to limit myself or not expose myself or put myself out there because of the fact that I might get rejected. Like, it is what it is. Some people, it's like, I'm not going to make any movement because I'm afraid of being rejected. And then there's people in the in-between.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-FOR Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS.
I think that this weekend specifically, I had an experience where I was talking about something and it reminded me of prayers I had years ago. Prayers that I wanted to happen. And I'm thankful now that God didn't give me what I wanted, not because what I wanted was wrong, but because what I wanted would have hurt me. What I wanted would have really kept me stagnant. What I wanted, in a lot of moments of my life, I couldn't handle that. Even thinking back to being a teenager, 20s, now I'm in my 30s. I look back on the things that I thought I wanted, and I could look at it not happening, the relationship not working, the things, not getting into the school I actually wanted to get into. Long story, I wanted to go to University of Maryland. That's where I really wanted to go. And I did not get accepted to University of Maryland. And, that was hard for me. I felt like I was a great student this, that, and the third, but I thank God that I went to University of Georgia. Like, I look back on, I have so much pride on the school I decided to go to, but if I was praying to go to a different school, but if I went to that school, there's a lot of things that now moving forward in my life wouldn't have happened if I went there. But that's what I was praying for. There was times where I was praying for a platform, and y'all, I didn't deserve a platform. I couldn't handle a platform I wanted to. You know, there was multiple things that, like, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be in journalism. There's so many different things I wanted to do. I thank God I landed in psychology. But there were times in my life that I was praying for certain things to occur that if it happened, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I wouldn't be able to have the platform that I have. There are even negative things that have happened to me, traumas that I've experienced. I remember praying. I've said the story, Stephen Johnson syndrome I've experienced. And there were times, there was a second bout of Stephen Johnson's that I, thought I was experiencing. Now I know it as a lupus flare up. I didn't know that. There's a lot of debate because there was so many different symptoms and landed me in a hospital. Second time it happened to me, y'all, it was so painful and I was so afraid of it happening that I was just praying for God to, like, please don't do it. Like, to the point that I didn't want to be alive. Like, cause I knew the pain that I was about to experience when I started experiencing the first couple symptoms. And I knew, oh my gosh, this is about to happen to me again. And I thank God that it happened. I thank God that it happened. Because now when I tell the story and when I talk about the things that I've experienced, like that Stephen Johnson situation changed my entire appearance in less than 24 hours. I mean, everything that physically, like my face, everything changed. And because I saw how people changed with me changing, I realized that I couldn't put all my weight in my physical appearance because just overnight it changed. It forced me to create other aspects of myself and focus on other aspects of myself and build myself as a whole human being versus just solely focused on my physical. Made me deeper, made me think existentially. It had me reading. It had me doing, like, really focusing on other aspects of self. That didn't mean that I didn't focus on my physical appearance later on in my life. I did. I do. But I knew that there was more to me than that. And I knew that just in the blink of an eye, things could change. And it forced me to create character and other aspects of myself. But that wouldn't have happened if those things didn't happen. And so, yes, today's topic is reframing rejection. Because I think a lot of times we look in at situations and we don't put ourselves out there and we don't take the risk. We don't take the leap. We just stay in comfortable situations because we're afraid. We're afraid of what would happen. We don't have those answers. And so we just stay stagnant instead of shooting our shot or taking the risk or leaving the job or leaving the relationship, whatever that may be, we're so afraid. We overthink in the moment that we end up staying in broken situations way longer than we should have. And there's a quote, and I think it's, was it Miles Monroe? I believe there was a quote that said that, let me see. I think, what is it? That the graveyard is the richest place on earth because it is here that you will find all the hopes and dreams that were never fulfilled, the books that were never written, the songs that were never sung, the inventions that were never shared, the cures that were never discovered, all because someone was too afraid to. The graveyard is the richest place on earth where dreams, hopes were never fulfilled. All because people might have been afraid of rejection. And so I'm saying this to you guys because as I was talking to my friend about relationships and she was talking about the rejection aspect of it and how, well, they just didn't want a relationship with me. Well, no, you're looking at it from that perspective, but maybe God didn't want you with them. Maybe there's a woman that came up to me, and I'm not going to say everything that she said because she confirmed a lot of things in my spirit this weekend. And she shared with me that there was things that weren't happening because God was preserving me. God was preserving me. And I could sit here and like, why is this happening? Why? You know, just different things. But she was like, she gave me the answer that God was protecting me from certain connections and certain things not working out. Why? Because he was preserving me. He was protecting me. Somebody listening to me today, you're beating yourself up, upset that maybe there's people that don't want to be friends with you. They may be that the person doesn't want to date you or your crush doesn't like you or whatever. Y'all, I can think back to the time when I was in the eighth grade, y'all, and I wrote a guy a letter, and he was my crush. I wrote a guy a letter, and y'all, I ain't mad at him because in eighth grade, I wasn't a looker, okay? Let's be real. I hadn't gone through puberty. Your girl was looking rough, okay? I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I had glasses. I had braces. I was a little pudgy. My body hadn't come to fruition yet, okay? So I was looking a little awkward, right? Middle school is awkward. We look awkward, okay? So I'm over there looking awkward, and I'm writing this man a letter. And even in my awkward, I guess some people found me cute, but I wrote him a letter. And I told him he liked me, and he rejected me. He had another girlfriend. He was really kind about it, but he rejected me. And, you know, I don't really, like, take that personal. Now that I'm older, I think about that experience. I remember it, but it's not something that I like that weighs on me. But I thank God that didn't happen, right? Because even in that instance, that person might've went to a different school and we got together, or maybe I would have been pressured to do things that I wasn't trying to do at that age. There's just so many different things. Like now that I look back at my life, everything happened the way it was supposed to happen. There was times where I had a best friend that there was a guy that I liked in my neighborhood. And I told my best friend and she ended up like, after I like connected with him as and not in no other way besides like, he told me he liked me and I told him I liked him back. She ended up started dating him. She was like supposed to tell him on the phone that like, I couldn't talk to him because my mama wouldn't let me talk to no boys at that time. You know, I was in trouble or whatever the case may be. And like she ended up telling him and then ended up in a relationship with him in the same call. Right? And I'm over here sad and mad. Like, you my best friend. How you gonna date this guy that I told you I liked? You was calling him just to tell him that I couldn't talk to him because my mama mad at me. I'm grounded. Right? But I like that her relationship ended up lasting like 2 weeks, and this guy, you know, used her and left her and all this other stuff. And it's like, that could have been me. But in that moment, if I would have allowed that instance to like create a resonance of like, oh, I'm rejected. I look back now that I'm older. I'm like, I was protected. God preserved me and he's preserving me now. I just got a word on Saturday and I knew it to be true. Some of y'all, it's not that you're being rejected. You're being preserved. Those relationships, those people, they're not for you. You have to understand, family, in this walk, I believe in not settling. I believe in God giving you greater, you know, more abundant. He does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ever ask, think, or imagine. Again, that's not just everybody and everything. If you are called according to his purpose and you love him and you're trying to walk with him, God is going to cover you because he's a faithful God. He's a loving God. And his word does not come back to him void. So I believe that, that if I'm walking with him and I'm turning to him, and I'm not a perfect woman, but if I'm doing my best to honor him with my life and to bring him into my situations, I know that he's going to be faithful because he's been faithful. Some of you guys are so afraid of rejection that you're not willing to take risks, that you're not willing to put yourself out there in any type of way. And the reality of this is that if it's not for you, it's not for you. I think I've gone on this journey of trying to not personalize things, because I understand now God is sovereign. And there are people that are probably listening to me right now that are struggling with understanding rejection, that they've been rejected and they've been hurt. And because of those things, the enemy has allowed those instances to live rent-free in their mind. And they're not willing to take certain risks that will bring about fulfillment and bring about the fruit of what they're looking for in their lives. Because, family, we can't reach purpose without taking risks. We cannot do what we're here and created to do without putting ourselves out there. Even Jesus put himself out there. I mean, he did. And if people rejected him, it said in the Bible that he said to the disciples, when y'all go to different places and people don't receive your message, just dust off your feet and say, listen, I gave y'all the message. Whatever happens to y'all is on y'all. We're moving on to another place, and we're gonna keep doing our mission. We're not gonna allow you not receiving us to stop what we are called to do. And so I say to every single person listening to me, that rejection was God's protection. I'm telling you the truth. That's not just a funny colloquialism that we like to say to make you feel better. No, it's real. When things are not supposed to happen, sometimes we think we know better than God what's best for us. And we don't. We don't. Let's keep it real. You thought that relationship was the best thing for you. It wasn't. You thought that man or that woman was the best thing for you. It wasn't. You thought that job was going to be the answer to all your prayers. It wasn't. You thought that friend was going to be there for the rest of your existence and y'all were going to be friends forever and ever and ever. Amen. No, it wasn't. We think we know, we don't. And that's why we have to allow, yes, the no's to happen. The rejection to occur. Because now your path is clear. Okay, well, I know that ain't it. That person said no, I know that ain't it. That situation said no, I know that ain't it. Now I understand where I'm supposed to be going. But because we're afraid of, especially today's society, we're so afraid of being vulnerable. We're so afraid of how we look to other people and how somebody could manipulate our image based upon us being vulnerable. And I get that because it is not a safe society emotionally, 100%. But my fear is that there are people that are going to leave this earth without fulfilling what they were here and created to fulfill because of fear. The fear of rejection, because the fear of how people are going to think or how people are going to perceive you. The most successful people I know had to put themselves out there. They just had to. There's no way around it. The most successful YouTube channels, where do they come from? They come from people deciding to put content together and putting themselves out there. They had a concept and they ran with it. the creators of our world, the people that created Apple, Amazon, Tesla, they're creators, they're creatives. And they said, listen, this idea may not go, but if I don't share it, I don't know. And so I'm here to like really plead with y'all that as I was talking to my friend last night and we were talking about the situation where she's like, well, they just didn't want a relationship with me. No, they weren't meant to have a relationship with you, because if they were supposed to have a relationship with you, they would have chose you. Instead of looking at it like, oh, they don't want me or they don't like me. It's like, okay, God doesn't have that for me. That's not my person. And y'all, this is easier said than done. I'm not saying that this is like 1, 2, 3 and I feel better. No, you have to practice the intentionality of reframing your thoughts. That we talk about it in therapy circles where you talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, where there's a cognition and a behavior associated to that. And we try to change the belief, the core belief, to change the cognition. So therefore change the behavior, because we think that beliefs, thoughts, and actions are all connected. And so if we change one, then it will change the other, and then it will change the other, because the goal is to change the behavior. And so some people, because maybe they're afraid of abandonment. Some people, because they're afraid of rejection. Some people, because they're afraid of the unknown, just decide to stay in broken places. And the thing is, guys, there's a preferred will of God, and then there's just God salvation. You know, salvation, you know, we love God, you believe in him, and you're gonna, you know, you got your salvation. And then there's a preferred will, and there's our will. You know, there's things where he can protect us in our own things, because God is grace. God has grace, and he exercises grace and mercy when we don't deserve it. But there is a preferred will that we opt in and out of. And if we're walking our own path and we're choosing our own way, we're opting out of the will of God. We're saying we're choosing our own will. And whatever, God, I'm going to do me. Okay, well, let me tell you something. It will never prosper the way it is supposed to prosper. It won't. There's a fulfillment. There's a peace. There's a purpose that comes with fulfilling God's will on this planet. I'm telling you guys that from this experience in my life, that the most fulfillment I have ever felt in my life is me stepping into purpose. Not my purpose, God's purpose. When I was doing my own thing, nothing was ever enough. And it never felt right. There was always more, 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 because that's people. It's broken cisterns that cannot hold water, that we're just chasing after this dream, chasing after this dollar amount, chasing after these opportunities, chasing after this status, right? We're just chasing and chasing and chasing. The most fulfillment I have ever felt in this existence was when I started tapping into purpose and understanding what my creator has me to do. And that required me, family. The tax I had to pay was putting myself out there. And guess what? I've been rejected. I've been talked about. I've got people that will troll me and say negative things to me every day. Whether they know me or not, I don't know them from a can of paint. I have never spoken to them, never seen them. But there are people that, because of my existence, because of what rumors they want to believe about me, they utilize that as weapons to tear me down and to reject me and to make me feel less than. And the enemy utilizes that to try to shut me up and keep me stagnant. And I'm telling the enemy today, no. And guess what? I'm encouraging you to do the same thing. No, devil, you ain't got no power over me. You got to be afraid of me, because I'm not going to stop no matter what happens, because my God is fueling me. That with every misstep or every time something doesn't happen the way I thought it was, I'm still going to go hard. I'm still going to push through. You're not going to stop me. Even when I feel like this is not going the way I want it to go, and I feel like I'm stagnant, and I feel like I'm in a wilderness season where, like, I feel like I'm supposed to be here, but things are not working the way I want them to work. And I feel like I'm just kind of facing a lot of trials and tribulations. And I'm like, I don't really understand. Am I wrong? Did I do the wrong thing? Did I go the wrong place? And you're questioning God's will for your life and whether what you're doing is actually aligned with what God wants you to do, or what God wanted you to do, or if you did the right thing or you're doing the wrong thing. You just in your head. And that's what the enemy wants from us, family. He wants us to doubt. He wants us to stay in this place of wondering so that we never actually start moving. So just like I was told this weekend, y'all, if you are dealing with that, like, I don't know, am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place? That questioning of whether or not where you are is where you're supposed to be. If you were not supposed to be there, you wouldn't be there. God has a plan for you, no matter where you are. But now we can't allow our fleshly emotions, our carnal emotions, to then inhibit us from moving forward in the places and the spaces God has intended us for us to move and to dominate. Family, God has a purpose for all of our lives. And it may not make sense to us in the moment, especially when you face opposition. Like you felt like God told you to do this. You feel like God is telling you to do that. You feel like you're in this place. This is where you are, whatever that may be. And you're facing all this opposition. You're like, okay, God, if this is where you want me to be, why am I dealing with this? Like, am I questioning? I'm questioning now is, are you testing me? Or am I in the wrong position? Like, is this you just kind of seeing if I'm going to keep having faith and I'll keep showing up? Or is this, you're in the wrong place, Sam, and you need to go, you need to exit stage left and go somewhere else. And I struggle with that too, family. I recently have been struggling with that because things haven't moved the way I wanted them to move or I had envisioned them moving. But then I got a word and I shout out to Real Talk Kim. She's like a mentor to me. I love her very much. Shout out to you, PK. She said, when you feel like that, go harder. When you feel like that, go even harder. Push the gas pedal. Do the best you possibly can. Don't allow the distractions, the doubt, the all the different emotions that could come in and just take from your performance because you're in your head. You're not really sure where you're supposed to be. The enemy just wants to put doubt in you. To inhibit your performance, to not allow you to really go hard the way you are supposed to. Wherever you are, do the best you can where you are. That's what I think is thriving. Doing the best you can with what you have. You may not have all the answers. You may not, there might be other moving parts that you can't control. All you can control is how you show up. So show up the best way you know how. Go hard, train hard, do whatever you've got to do. I don't know who's listening to me, but go harder. I know it's confusing. I know the doubts are there. I know you're not really sure if this is where you're supposed to be. Go hard. Go as hard as you can go until the wheels fall off. And then allow God to then steer you moving forward. But some of you guys listening to me, you haven't even taken the leap yet. Because the people that have taken the leap, that's when the enemy get busy. Because now he's going to romanticize your past. He's going to make you feel like you're making the wrong moves. Oh, you took this risk and now you're like, dang, I should have went back to Egypt. Now I'm in the wilderness. Right? In Egypt, I had food and I knew I was going to eat and I knew I was going to have water. Now I'm in the wilderness. I have to think about where I'm going to eat and what I'm going to drink. And so you start romanticizing the past, not realizing the past didn't bring you no closer to where you wanted to be. There was issues, real issues with Egypt. Oppression, suppression, all these different things, abuse. Now you're getting closer to purpose and it's getting harder and it's harder to have faith and it's harder to believe that God is there. I'm sure the Israelites were like, hold on, there is no way there's a promised land. There's no way. What? Because we've been out here for a minute and we're still looking at sand. Moses, what are we doing? There can't be a promise. Like, y'all been talking about this promised land. I haven't seen it. I don't believe it. And some of us, that's exactly where we are. We've taken a step of faith and we're moving in it. And the enemy gets busy because he wants you to go back to where you came from. Why? Because it's your comfort zone. Because that's like, that literally takes you further away from purpose. If the Israelites went back to Egypt, that was further away from the promised land. Don't go back. Somebody needs to hear that. Don't go back. Don't romanticize the past. No, keep moving forward. Put your foot on the gas pedal. Make the enemy mad. You're closer to the promised land than you were before. You just got to give it your best. Trust God with the rest. For everybody else, I know that I went off and I feel like that was God. That was for somebody. But I want to land here. Some of you guys are allowing a rejection that's occurring or has happened in your life. And you making it about, you making, it's turning into an insecurity or turning into personality traits where you have a guard up, a wall up, you isolating yourself. You're not taking the risk you once took because you were rejected in that season. I want to encourage you to reframe that rejection. God didn't want you in that place. That doesn't mean you stop moving. The enemy allowed that rejection to happen or orchestrated that rejection to happen to keep you stagnant, to keep you from shooting your shot, to keep you from applying to the jobs, to keep you from creating the family or going to the next level. That's what the enemy wanted, is for you to stop. So you deciding to stop and opting out of the perfect and preferred will of God is you deciding, you know what? I'm going to live a mediocre life. I'm not going to reach purpose. I'm not going to have the relationship, the profession, whatever, the career, the legacy that I want to create, because I'm so afraid of experiencing that rejection. Do not let it happen. Don't let it happen. Be an active participant and saying, no, devil, guess what? Your girl is here. I know you thought you got me messed up in the last season, but I'm still here and I'm still showing up and I'm still taking risks and I'm still going to go hard and I'm still going to put myself out there. I know that you've done what you've done and tried to orchestrate things to silence me, but guess what? I showed up again. Oh, I'm gonna make you real mad. I'm gonna show up tomorrow too. And I'm gonna show up the next day and I'm gonna give it my all. And I'm not going to let you destroy my future. I'm not going to no graveyard with hopes unfulfilled and dreams never realized. I'm not doing it. And so I'm reframing this rejection. If God didn't want that to happen, God didn't want the relationship to happen, God didn't want you to take that job, God didn't want it. God was protecting and preserving you because he wanted you to be in a certain mindset when you got to where he wanted you to be. So family, shake it off right now. Just shake it off your shoulders. Whatever that rejection, whatever that hurt, whether it was from your father, your mother, your cousin, your sister or your brother, your family members. From childhood on up, we are reframing rejection today. That is going to be a part of your testimony on the other side of this thing. The enemy might have allowed these things to occur in childhood because he knew what God had for you. He knew that if he could get you at a young age and get you distracted by the pain of your past, that he could stop what God is going to do in the future. So I want everybody listening to me right now. We're not letting rejection hold us back. We know that God is doing something in our lives, and we are not going to allow what has happened in our past to stop our future or to limit our future. God is sovereign. God is good. And guess what? If that wasn't supposed to work, that relationship wasn't supposed to work, the job wasn't supposed to happen, this, that, we just have to look at it like, okay, not that, oh, this, I'm not good enough, or they don't like me, or I'm not attractive, or what. No, that wasn't what God had for me. That's how we reframe it. That's not where God has me. Thank you, God, for making my path clearer. And for those who have taken the risk, those who have decided to put themselves in a position, and now you're being faced with opposition you did not expect. Now you're faced with opposition you did not expect. I want to encourage you. Keep showing up. You're in the wilderness. Keep showing up. Do your absolute best. There is a promised land. There is a breakthrough. There is another side. You just got to keep praying, keep trusting God, keep doing your best, and let God handle the rest. Some of us are carrying God weight, and that does not belong to us. All you can control is you. You can't control everything else. So you keep on showing up. You keep doing the best that you can. You keep on swinging. You keep on doing you. Let God handle everything else. The enemy is going to try to get you to go back to Egypt. He's going to romanticize Egypt. But there were real problems with Egypt. Don't allow the situations that you're facing now have you romanticizing your past and going backwards, because that's exactly where the enemy wants you to go, backwards. There's a promised land, family. There is a promised land. We just got to keep moving. Thank you for spending your time with us on Love Samantha Lee, the More Than Just Pretty podcast. It's been a privilege to share this space with you where we celebrate being unapologetically ourselves. I hope today's episode has encouraged you to embrace your own unique beauty and the beauty in others. Don't forget to follow us and join our community on social media. Share your journey and your insights, and let's continue this conversation. Until next time, remember, real beauty starts with you being true to yourself. I love you, family, and I'm going to talk to you soon.
Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Assisted customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.